Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the CTT Third Quarter 2019 Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker presentation, there will be a question and answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today on Thursday, the 31st of October 2019. I'd now like to turn the conference over to your speaker today, João Bento. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our 9-month results presentation. So we've had what we think was a robust growth for the bank and financial services, and also a one-time impact of the mail for the elections that has a significant contribution for the quarter results. Starting with mail, we are showing a decline of 7.6%. Which is within our guidance for the year and significantly better than what we had in the first half, but benefiting from the election effect, one-off effect that I've already mentioned. Still on mail, we are now able to secure 15.1 million full year 19 operating costs over a target of 15 million. Of which 13.8 of the savings are already visible through our P&L for this first nine months. We have also increased the target for this cost savings from 15 to 16 million euros for the end of the year. Moving to parcels, the main highlights are that we are significantly recovering growth in Portugal with almost 14% growth after a slow start of the year. I think it's worth mentioning a symbolic contract that we've signed with Amazon and started operating four weeks ago for delivering parcels in Portugal. And also there is a significant contribution from Spain in terms of underperforming regarding last year. As you know, we lost a significant customer, and we are now disclosing some more details of the turnaround plan, and I'll be back to this later in the call. Moving to the bank, this is a landmark quarter for the bank. The bank has achieved the operational break-even almost 4 years after launch, so it is a great quarter for us, taking into account the successful integration of 3-to-1 credit. The bank keeps a steady acquisition of customers, a monotonic acquisition of 10,000 customers per month, and with a bias towards young and digital clients, which is in fact good news. And finally, our second star for the quarter, financial services, with an EBITDA margin improvement of 76.6%, with a significant growth acceleration of the public debt certificates placement in the quarter from a base that was already high, and we have indeed placed more than 1 billion, almost 1.1 billion euros of public debt this quarter. Moving to the next slide, which is a new chart that represents how our mail revenues are spread, calling the attention to the fact that we have a decline in ordinary mail, there's a strong contribution of high-value mail. So indeed, high-value mail with a significant increase, and also the fact that registered mail is falling slower pace than the normal mail, which is good news, and with a very significant contribution of international mail, a trend that we see to remain and eventually to climb, given the contribution of in particular inbound Chinese e-commerce contributions. Of course, we have been, as I said, positively affected by a one-off effect of the legislative elections with the 5.3 million I would say one-off revenues in the quarter. Moving to the next slide, where we have the outlook for both parcels and financial services. Well, as I've mentioned already, an interesting growth of 13.3% of parcels in Portugal. After a slow start of the year, we see this trend to, if anything, accelerating up to the end of the year. And Spain continuing to be impacted by the full loss of a large customers. If we would remove that effect, rather than a decline of 9.6%, and this is a coincidence, we would have a volume growth of 9.6%, exactly the opposite. The final chart in the bottom part of the page shows how public debt placement has grown, and the aforementioned 1.1 billion placement in the quarter, reaching 2.8 billion for the year. So a very good quarter for financial services. Our next slide is about the bank. So a very good behavior in terms of acquisition of customer accounts. Indeed, it's almost a steady slope of acquisition of new customers. We don't see this declining, although someday it will happen. With the customer funds reaching now 1.1 billion euros, and with a significant new contribution of the off-balance sheet product that we have launched last year, reaching a total amount of 1.4 billion of customer funds accumulated. If we move to credit, we have an interesting 170 million euros of outstanding consumer credit. Again, a very steady growth of this line of business. Mortgages reaching 359 million, and with an extremely significant contribution of 3-to-1 credit, reaching almost 450 million euros of credit in that business area, which also has a very significant impact on the loan to deposit ratio, which was very low and moved from 17% in March last year to 69% in September this year. So, as I said, a very good quarter for the bank, a landmark quarter for the bank. Final slide before moving to details about the operation transformation plan and the newly implemented measures and targets that we have. So just a reminder, we had a goal of 13.8 million for last year, which was overpassed, and reached 15 million. 15 million euros was already the declared value for this year. As I said, we are now upgrading that target to 16 million euros finally this year. And we are also upgrading the target for next year from 15 million euros to 18 million euros, so an additional 3 million euros out of a number of measures that are already designed and some of them in place. Moving to financials, I will give the floor to Guy Pacheco, our CFO.
So starting on slide 10, where we can see our key financial indicators. So our financial indicators improving trends on this quarter. Revenue is growing on the third quarter 8.8%, with all business units showing growth, especially Banco CTT and financial services. We also had the positive effect that João already mentioned of general elections that contributed with an extra 5.3 million euros in revenues. If we exclude 3-to-1 credit to revenues, we'll still have grown 4.4%, a very robust growth on the third quarter. EBITDA growing 41.7% with a positive contribution of financial services and CTT, which has now a positive EBITDA in the quarter and in the 9 months. Net profit reaching 13.9 million euros in the quarter, 22.9 million in the 9 months. That a part of the positive operational performance, there was a one-time corporate tax refund credit that following the Portuguese Tax Authority accepting the deduction of a capital loss that we incurred in the reorganization of the Express and Parcels business back in 2016. Our operating cash flow also improving to 17.5 million euros in the quarter and now stands in 23.7 million for the 9 months. Operating costs increasing 4.6% in the quarter, or 2.4% if we exclude the 3-to-1 integration, and those costs come mainly from the Express and Parcels division and the bank. Specific items now 4.3 million in this quarter, mainly related with staff exits and some transaction costs related with 3-to-1 credit. Moving to more detail on our revenues. So the revenues returned to growth after a very strong quarter with a very strong performance in all business units. Bank underpinned by Bank CTT organic and inorganic growth, and financial services also with a very strong performance, placing almost 1.1 billion in public debt on this quarter. Mail growing 0.5%, benefiting from general elections, and with a sustained mix effect, as João gives you some color, of inbound mail and registered mail that enables us to offset part of the decline, although in the 9 months it's still declining 10.4 million euros. Express and Parcels with a good performance in Portugal, 13.9% growth in volumes or 9.7% in revenues on this quarter. Spain still negative with 81% decline on the third quarter, although improving from minus 11.9 on the second quarter, so a sequential improvement. And if we exclude that big account loss, the volume should be 10.9% higher than last year. Bank growing net interest margin in 3.6 million and 2.6 million in commissions, and also with an inorganic contribution of 3-to-1 credit of 12.4 million euros. Going to OPEX, our OPEX increased 1.4% in the 9 months, or 6.5 million, out of which 4.8 million coming from 3-to-1 credit. Mail reducing 6.1 million, despite the growth in termination dues impacted by general election revenues of 1.1 million and costs associated with new regulatory measures of 1.2 million euros. Express and Parcels growing 5.2 million coming from the Portuguese operations. The Spanish costs are flat until on the 9 months. This reflects an increase of cost drivers such as labor and fuel that have been putting pressure on our costs on this division this year. Measures are in place and improving margins on the second and third quarters, but this is an area of attention where we continue to work and is where we continue to have a lot of management focus. Banco CTT excluding 3-to-1 credit increasing 3.9 million, resulting of higher transaction costs, IT and staff to support higher number of customers and transactions. On slide 13, we can see our EBITDA evolution that is growing 17.7% in the 9 months or 41.7% in the quarter. Bank CTT achieving break-even at EBITDA level in the quarter and in the 9 months, mail still declining 4.3 million euros in the 9 months, despite growing 1.5% this quarter. Express and parcels impacted by 2.8 million decline in Spain, or additional decline in Spain, and the loss of margin in Portugal. Portugal, as I said, is recovering during the second and third quarter, so margins are now back to high single-digit numbers, but this continues to be an area of focus and where we continue to be very focused in improving this number. Financial services EBITDA growing 7 million on the back of the already mentioned very strong public debt placements. Moving to our balance sheet in page 14, our balance sheet continues to reflect the successful expansion of the bank CTT business unit, already representing 2/3 of our assets. Bank financial assets and credit growing to 1.29 billion euros and deposits also 1.33 billion euros, reflecting the growth of the bank. Healthcare benefits now stand 249 million euros and the corresponding tax credit of 72 million euros, so 177 million net. Our lease liabilities now amount to 87 million. On the slide 15, we can see our cash flow. In the first 9 months of the year, CTT generated 23.7 million euros on operating cash flow, still affected by 16 million of negative working capital that still reflects the CapEx payment seasonality, and 3.9 million related with the growth of the business, so very, very high revenues concentrated in the end of September. A tax is positive on the 9 months following the corporate tax refund after the tax authority accepting the deduction of capital loss incurred in that express and parcels reorganization of 2016, and our net cash position now stands at 9 million euros, and if we were to include the IFRS 16 lease liabilities, that should turn to a net debt of 78 million euros accumulated to on the 9 months. I'll now pass to João to talk about the news on Spain.
Yeah, well, we've committed in the last results presentation, which was my first one, to come back with a turnaround plan for Spain, and that's the main point in the strategy update. Spain remains a key growth pillar for CTT Express and Parcels business, mainly because of its market size and growth dynamics. In fact, the Spanish express and parcels market is disproportionately larger than the Portuguese one. Spain is five times bigger than Portugal in terms of population, or six times in terms of the economy, but the Spanish CP market size is eight times the Portuguese one. And it's not only much bigger than the Portuguese one, it's also growing faster than the Spanish economy itself. And this is even more important if we look at the potential that exists, because although this significant growth, it's still enjoying a very significant growth on particularly B2C, which has grown almost 20% in the last 3 or 4 years, one of the highest growth in Europe, despite the fact that Spain remains below the European average or the comparable economies average. So, a very significant number of factors that will that represent a great potential for the parcels market in Spain. It has also some relevance for our business in Portugal, because the cross border flows are very significant. Around 30% of the Portuguese international CP market comes from Spain. And both, it's growing in both directions. It's growing for Portugal and for Spain. and we believe CTT is in a privileged position to dominate this market. And therefore, this is the reason why we think that Spain should remain at a high consideration in our priorities. If we move to slide 18, we're just illustrating a bit of a sad story in the sense that we've been losing money for quite some time. There was a clear trend of recovery that was suddenly stopped by the loss of this large customer, Amazon, as you know. But it also allows us to understand that we were not attacking the market in the right way. So we have now a new management team, and the team is fully in place from last September. I would dare to say that it's probably the most experienced team in Spain in the parcels business with a significant history of turnaround. And that we're talking about Seoul and Correos Express. And the new strategy focuses on organic growth on B2C and the commitment that we are now assuming is that it will reach break-even during the year of 2021. If we move to page 19, I'll try to give you some color on how do we aim to do so. Well, first, because we want to reorient our commercial approach. Our Tour Line, as many other operators, is based on an architecture of franchisees. They are reasonably efficient in B2B, and they are, also reasonably inefficient in B2B. So we want to improve direct sales and franchisees through a new contractual approach whereby franchisees will be mainly commercial agents for Tour Line, and they could keep, especially in small towns, They could keep also small B2B customers. In what refers B2C, which is by far the largest growing part of the market, indeed B2B has been roughly steady, meaning without growth in the last 8 to 9 years, and B2C in the same 8 to 9 years has been grown above 12%, and more recently almost 20%. So we want to grow the B2C business mainly through direct sales in major cities. So relations with large customers, B2B customers, need to be done directly with Tour Line and not through franchises. Moving to improving unit costs and margins, we want to optimize the operation model. We want to further the level of automation and therefore with a higher efficiency. With the greater control on distribution. It's very difficult to have a great control on distribution if our distribution is based on franchises. And we also want to improve the customer mix, because with a higher scale we can probably be a bit more selective in the customers that we have. Moving to the quality issues, we want to reinforce quality of service and distribution. Quality is by far the main selling lever in the parcels market. We want to revamp the brand, the image, and the awareness of Tour Line. Indeed, we are going to rebrand Tour Line, and it's going to be called CTT Express. This is something to happen soon. And finally, internal reorganization, and this is related with what the team has already been done. We want to improve management and operations information systems. We want to increase the regional focus, appointing relevant and senior regional representatives. And we want to strengthen operations coordination with Portugal. And we have now mixed teams coordinating all the flavors of operation systems, commercial, and so on between Spain and Portugal. So this is our presentation. We are, of course, more than happy to move to Q&A.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. To cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of Mark. McVeever from Barclays. Please ask your question.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Small number of questions from me. First of all, there's nothing explicitly new in terms of EBITDA guidance. So do we assume that the 100 to 105 range, including 3-1 Crédito, stands? There's no change to that guidance?
Yes, in the absence of comments on the guidance, you should assume that the guidance remains.
Okay, thank you. Next question is, when you start thinking about the dividend, which I think you've said, you know, should be paid out of reported net profits, you know, will you include in your thinking the tax credit as an offset to some of the one-time items running through this year's numbers?
Well, yes, net profit is net profit. This is a this is an exceptional way of having a net profit, and the comment I would like to leave regarding dividend is that the board didn't address the issue so far, so the situation remains as it was. Or to have a stronger statement, dividend will never be higher than net result. At least with me.
Sure. Understood. Next question. There's only two more. The, you know, you've obviously raised the cost saving ambition to 18 million for 2020. Are you looking at ways to find more beyond that, or do we think that's it for the current plan?
Yeah, thank you. Indeed. As you know, when the plan was announced, it was announced for a three-year horizon. And of course, most of the, or many of the actions that were designed to last forever. We didn't commit to numbers beyond 2022. But indeed, yes, some of the measures that we are now putting in place will have an impact beyond the horizon of the plan.
Okay, thank you. And my final question is the 12 million that you're planning to spend on Tourline, is that included in, or is an element of that in included in the CapEx guidance of 45 million for this year, or does most of that spend happen beyond 2019?
Yeah. Well, two lines, CapEx, and I will take the answer also to expand a little bit more on that, is mostly, almost exclusively related with increasing the level of automation and mostly devoted to small-scale sorters in medium-sized regional sorting centers. Some of these CapEx, all of the CapEx is included in the overall figure that you've mentioned. Some of that is going to be probably present this year.
Just okay. Giving just one, a little bit more color. So there is some on the 45 million guidance for this year. There are some capex out of the 12, but it's a small part. Most of the capex will happen in 2020 and 2021.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much.
So let me, coming back to the costs beyond the 2020, we are still working on that area, and we might come at a later stage with commitments beyond 2020. But so far, we are only disclosing what was announced and how we are vis-à-vis what was announced. But we most likely will come back with commitments beyond beyond 2020.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Bruno Silva from CaixaBank.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. Just a quick follow-up on the new plan for Tourline. In the EBITDA numbers that you provide in the slide, could you just clarify that aside from the capex that you are committing with this plan, what is the what we could call the one-off opex related with the turnaround. Second question, is it possible to quantify or give more color on the contract with Amazon in Portugal? If there are minimum levels of volume committed for the three-year contract, anything that, on that would help us. And finally, in the process of increased efficiency, optimization of the return on your business, are you considering monetizing some of your assets, namely real estate? Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure I understood the first question regarding the EBITDA evolution in Spain, so if you could clarify that. But I will start with the other two questions. Amazon, we have a non-exclusivity contract with Amazon. It has a commitment for 4,000 parcels. 400,000 parcels per year. We are starting in a very, I would say, careful way. The relation is evolving extremely well, I would say. And just to give you some flavor, we are now at around 3,500 parcels per day. Our peak day was actually in the last week 5,500 parcels. But I would probably add, although we are very happy with this relation with Amazon and resuming relations with them, for Portugal, Amazon is not that important e-seller. I mean, it's a very important e-seller, but not as much as in Spain because, there is no Amazon Portugal in the first place, and the importance of Amazon for the Portuguese parcels market is not as high as in Spain. Having said so, we are very happy, and the feedback we have from Amazon is, I would say, at the best possible to expect 4 weeks after starting operation. Moving to monetizing real estate. We are working on that. We have committed to come with details until year end, as we said in the last results call. We are progressing, and we should, and I reaffirm that we should come back with some visibility before year end.
Okay, thank you.
You could clarify the first question.
Sure. Yes, sure. I was asking if, aside from the capex committed in the turnaround of Tourline, CTT Express, if the EBITDA that you mentioned in slide 18, what you could consider as one-off OPEX related with the turnaround? So how much of that is? Okay, thank you.
Okay. It's not a one-off. It's in fact a trend towards a reference. And so there are two basic levers here. One is sales growth, and the other one is margin or cost decline. And what has been done is that with this very experienced team, we have reference unit costs for all sorts of cost contribution. And what we are doing is a convergence towards reference unit costs as fast as we can. So it's not a one-off. It's in fact the result of taking us a couple of years, we think, to reach the ideal unit costs for all sorts of the operations of Tulane.
Sorry, if I may, very quickly, just to make sure I understood. So the only costs related with the turnaround plan of Tourline are these 12 million, or and there won't be expensed any costs related, for instance, with consultants that I assume they would have to be expensed in the P&L and probably, not sure, layoffs because you have a franchising structure, but anything related with that?
Let's, to be clear, all the OPEX will be on the EBITDA, won't be any specific or exceptional OPEX books for the turnaround. So the most of the OPEX increase that we'll have, it will be in structure and on additional staff. No specific items or one-offs
okay.
will be booked below EBITDA if you want. If that's your question.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Thank you very much.
Let me just compliment the Amazon and because you are a Portuguese analyst, we didn't include that in the results presentation because it's harder to understand for someone not in Portugal. But we have also struck a very interesting contract with Santa Casa de Misericórdia, which is a very significant contract, not only because the value it has in itself, but also because the value opportunities it opens in our relation with Santa Casa. That one is much more important than Amazon, for example.
We're moving to our next question, and your next question comes from the line of Artur Amaro from Kaiser B. Please ask your question.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. Just to clarify, if you can clarify a little bit, what's dragging the EBITDA negative evolution in mail? I recall that on the 9 months, revenues on mail were down 2.8, but EBITDA is going down at 6.8, a little bit faster. I assume it's also related with indemnities, but I would like to have an opinion on that. And what can you do to tackle this in the future? And what could we expect for financial services next year, since they have, so far they have a very interesting evolution, if we can expect something more or less similar to this year? And thank you.
I'll take the first question. As you know, mail has very low operational gearing, so we have it's a almost fixed cost structure, not capex intensive, but human labor intensive, and we almost all the revenue decline in mail almost flows to the EBITDA level. That's why the you see a faster impact in EBITDA as revenues decline, and that's also why we are so much focused on putting people out in order to maintain our to sustain our margin levels, and all what we are doing in terms of operational transformation plan is aimed to continue to increase productivity levels and to have a more flexible network in order to comply with declining mail levels and also with more express and parcels and that flow in the network and increasing the integration of the two networks. We also have the regulation impact that have direct costs of new measuring regulations that amounted to 1.2 million in the 9 months, and also we are not disclosing the number, but also has higher impact on our ability to reduce people because we need to comply with higher quality standards, and as such, we need to recur sometimes to contracted labor to comply with those standards.
Okay, just to complement, we are not disclosing that because, as you know, we have a litigation process with the state and with ANACOM, and therefore we cannot disclose the additional costs we have to try to somehow comply with the new quality standards. Coming to the second question, financial services for next year. Well, to be honest, we think 4 billion, which is almost where we are, we hope to be in the end of this year, is a bit optimistic. But it will depend very much on the dynamics. It will depend on one hand, on the willingness of the Republic to maintain attractive products for the general public. Actually, there's no reason, in our view, for the Republic to keep the rate that they are. But on the other hand, it's very important for them to keep people used to save with Portuguese public debt. So we are here a bit dependent on what they decide, but positive. It will also depend, of course, on the other hand, on the emergence of alternative products, savings products, and we don't see that many opportunities, alternative opportunities. So we are reasonably, confident that even at lower rates, we could keep a competitive offer. In this sense. So I would say a conservative approach probably would be to expect a slight less important contribution of financial services next year, but not necessarily so.
Okay, thank you very much. Very clear.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from the line of Joal Safara from Banco Santander.
Yes, hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. Actually, it's a very quick question, and probably I missed it since I joined the call late. When we look at the performance in the quarter in the mail business and just trying to understand what's the like-for-like performance, excluding the impact from legislation, from the legislative elections at the EBITDA level, if you could help me get the number, please.
So we had 5.3 million in extra revenues and 3.4 million in extra terminal dues, so 1.9 million of extra EBITDA.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Another reminder to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. That's star one if you wish to ask a question.
Okay, if there are no further questions, thank you for coming. Thank you for the questions as well. And we'll remain available to clarify any question you have in the forthcoming days. Thank you very much. Good morning.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.